Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 142, part 2, A Heavenly Rest Involves Decision. Today is Sunday, April 11th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. You will also find scripture links there at the blog. So be sure to join us for both parts on Friday, part one, and on Sunday, part two of Pastor Paul's messages. This is the lineup for the month of April. Our first message, A Heavenly Rest Involves Decision. The Truth Causes Battles, Beware the Snare, and A Profit and Loss Statement. There you have it, the month of April. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you back here each week. God bless you.
All kinds of things are saying, don't have rest. Your bill, look at this gas bill, $2,300, and this is only November. Lord, get nervous, man. I mean, get nervous. Start to sweat. And people are going to be flooding in here. Some 12,000 bags are going to be expected. Maybe even 14,000 bags will be expected between Minneapolis and St. Paul. Start to sweat. Well, if you're going to sweat, you better start sweating when you're running, opening up them bags of God's grace. You'll never fail. You don't have the rest. And that's what people got to realize. In order to get it together, it takes the rest of God. Because everybody,
you're going to work. Well, look at the book. Look at this. Look at that. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work.
And they have no rest. Mark it down what I'm saying to you. It takes the rest of God to have faith, to believe for things to be done, even though it looks like everything is against it. It takes a rest. Somebody's got to be at rest. Because there's all those questions. How's it going to get done? Twits. Isn't that right, though? That they twit. Right? And you got to have a rest that remains. Somebody's got to find the rest that remains of God and go on. Oh, men, have the rest that remains. Whoa! You're going to have sorrows, yes you are, but oh, how different will the state of the righteous be up there from the state and the estate of the believer here. Because here, Christians do suffer anxiety. Well, the Bible says, be anxious, not for the morrow. Therefore, I claim I will not be anxious. Well, that's why the Bible tells you not to be anxious, because you already are, don't you? It's trying to lead you towards the rest of God. How many here now? And how many teenagers have no rest? Oh, they're so worried about Johnny. Oh, she's trying to steal Johnny. Oh. And they have no rest. You know what? You're going to lose Johnny. Because you don't know that you can have the rest that remains. And you have no rest around your folks. Why? Because you don't give them no rest. Well, you give them rest when they got one foot in the grave. And you're not getting your new shoes or whatever you're going to get them. And ankle tennis shoes or something like that. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? And you don't have it because we're not seeking the rest of God. We're seeking something for ourselves. Some kind of an experience. How many are hearing this message? My God, will this guy ever get done? Hey, lock the doors and windows. Everybody's going to stay in here that's in here. And you listening on the radio, don't you dare turn that radio off. And you or the tape, leave it full blast. But you're going to suffer anxiety. You know what you're going to be anxious about? Anxious about serving your master. Doing the very best that you can do daily, because an active Christian will be much in labor. You'll be much in toil. Oh, Pastor Paul, oh, I know God has called me to this ministry. Oh, the Holy Ghost is on me. Ooh, Pastor Paul, you sent me down here. I didn't even know where you were at. I said, let me lead you to work, brother. Back here, I believe this, a trailer load has come in of canned goods. I'm going to take you back to them canned goods. Let me direct your quivering body back there, brother. And I lead him back there, and I walk away. And 5 minutes later, he's running down the road with his tennis shoes smoking. You know why? He didn't have the rest of the day. He just totally lost his peace after 4 or 5 boxes of this heavy stuff. This can't be of God. I'm starting to ache all over. Let me out of here. That's my constant cry. God, show me what to do next, the next thing. And you will say, my soul is in haste to be gone. I am not wearied for labor. I am wearied in it. Sometimes people get weary just thinking about getting out of the bed. Oh my God, I gotta get out of bed. Huh? They are wearied thinking about it. They're laying there and they wake up and them evil old eyes open up. Oh no, is it morning already? Already? I don't believe it. It just seems like I just laid down. And they're weary before they even get out of the bed. That's why they call it the rack. Because it's a torture thing. Don't you see? Get out of the rack! My soul is in haste to be gone. I am not wearied for the labor. I am wearied in it. Oh, get wearied in the... Well, I've said to myself even this. I've said, well, you know, when I'm toiling for the master is great, but right now I feel hardly any desire to do it. Now, don't be fretful. It'll soon all be over. And one fine day you'll get called up. Just like that. Maybe you're sitting here and you're 14 and a half. Maybe you're listening on the radio and you're just a little bundle of giggles. Your giggles could be crushed up. Even kids that are in school right now, you can see them come in, they're worried. A little boy come in here, and he couldn't even be 5 years old. And he did not have rest. He had furrows over his eyes. He wasn't at rest. Something was wrong in the home. He was a mess. Maybe his mother, when she got out, said, "Shut up! You are a monster!" A little monster! And the little kid was all furrowed and he was all worried. Walked over to him and says, "You kind of look like this." And the mother says, "He's very shy." Roll around another time, you know what I mean? Stop. He's very shy. That's always fighting. His name happened to be my name. Somebody said, "Paul," and I turned around and said, "What?" And I turned around and I seen you were talking to him. I said, "Oh, I thought you were talking to me." And this little guy kind of looked up. And so I got down underneath him. So sometimes you got to get down underneath people to talk to them. You just don't come up to my level. You know, "Hey, I'm Mrs. Queenie here, you know. Come to my level." Oh, no. Sometimes you got to get down. You got to get compassion. You got to start, man. You know, you young people right here can minister to some of these little people that are down here and they're miserable, see? And you looked right up inside. And I got to talking to this little guy. And we struck up a friendship. So I was going out of the place. And I purposely did it. Kind of turned and I said, "He said, why don't you try some of that? It'll give you a rest that remains, and the rest of the day you're going to feel good about yourself." So much to do! But see, we don't have the rest that remains within ourselves. How can we give rest to somebody else? We haven't learned the secret that the rest remains, and we take it in from God and we give it out. No matter what happens, there is a rest that remains. Preacher, you need to hear what I'm preaching. But you aren't going to have it all the time. You're going to toil no more up there. You're going to have no more crying. It says no more suffering. Paul isn't going to be lifting himself up from a perpetual and continual pile of rocks. Peter will be in prison no more. No more people will laugh at you when you pass out tracts. No more will you have to look at the pop-eyed flap mouth saying poof. But also, there is a Christian always sailing on. He's always in motion. Always sailing onward. He is feeling that he has not yet attained. Have you ever met a Christian that's already attained? Oh my God, they are so sick and mean. That's that. They got it down. They got the message of the Lord. They got it down. How can you get the message of the Lord, have it perfectly down? Oh, come on now. They got the formula for misery. Because you cannot explain the rest that remains. I can explain a miserable person that doesn't know there's a rest that remains. He's always trying to strive. But also, there will be the Christian that's always, I said, sailing on. I press forward towards that high mark, that high calling of Christ. Keep on, my mom used to say, keep on and keeping on. Oh my God, people. I can honestly say tonight, my ship is sailing towards that port of eternal bliss. My sails are full of the Holy Ghost Spirit wind. My compass is pointing a due north. And the captain is right behind. Like an arrow. Just like an arrow. You are fixed on target. You are speeding and moving on. You see this Halley's Comet? It's not going nowhere. There's so many 70-some years that comes by the same way. But you're speeding. Every day you're speeding towards. You're speeding towards, it says in the Bible, an everlasting joy, and even a mountain of rest. And so what have I said? Here we have a progress, but in heaven we have a rest. We're progressively getting better. Oh, even sometimes you listening on the radio, I get the letters and the phone calls, it's subject to all kinds of doubts and fears. Do I belong to God or not? Some years back, there were a couple of alcoholics. They had been alcoholics for a good number of years. And they called me, and they were laying on the floor, and they were contemplating suicide, and they said, we are drunk out of our minds. If we died right now, would we go to heaven? I said, of course you would go to heaven. You received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, write this down. Hey, get out your pencils and write it down. Write it down because, see, you don't have no rest anyway, you listening on the radio. And now you finally got something you can put down on black and white. You do not have the rest that remains. These two people got up. And these two people, knowing that they were going to heaven, are right now both ministers of the Word of God to the very highest form. I found out later they were contemplating suicide right there on the floor. What I have for them, the rest that remains. If I didn't have it, I'd say, oh, God, I don't know what I'd do. I sure wouldn't feel saved if I was in your place. Oh, repent! Oh, repent or die! Stab each other!
Let me say it again. You see people right now laying tracks. We're out there ministering the Word of God all over, and they have literally brought thousands and have been delivered of
But do I belong to God or not? Am I deceiving myself? Oh, and then these dark lies are whispered in their ears.
You're not saved.
No, I believe you're right, devil. I think God's mercy is all gone. And the Bible says his mercy endureth forever. How many people right now are heading their cars? Christians. And he says, God, I want to die. I remember when I first got saved, I got so legal, I had to have a briefcase full of notes to remind myself of what a sinner I was. God, I said, I want to die. I hate myself. I got a poor and a fainting heart. And I could just cry for nothing. I could stop and bawl in the middle of the street. I went through that for 9 months of my deliverance. I'd be walking along, and I was under all this pressure. I was of the bowl haircut variety. And I'd walk along, I was under all this pressure. Tormented in my mind. I can't be good. My mind is being out. And I said, God, will you just take me out here? Because I ain't going to make it. I will never make it. And you know what I got out of that 9 months? I learned how to go after the rest of God. Amen. The only place you can turn to, I don't care. Hey, friends will leave you. People will leave you. Man, we turn on each other like a pack of dogs. But there is a rest that remains. I mean, I was like confused. I was ready to halt between two opinions. And I felt like I had to go the rest of the way on crutches. Who can I tell this to? Who will ever believe me? They'll positive preach me to death. I couldn't tell anybody. I could dare not tell anybody that I was feeling feeble. And that I was feeling unworthy. And that I was feeling like I was on crutches. And I thought, who can I tell? Go all into this positive preaching thing and they'll say, brother, don't you know that you take the word and apply it? I need the rest of God. Because, see, if you don't have no rest, you can apply all the word you want to. That's like somebody trying to operate on you or put a Band-Aid on you or something, and you haven't got no rest, put your hand on it. And you just ain't got enough rest, so you just thrash. You understand what I'm saying? So you just thrash like a little kid that thrashes when you're trying to do something for them. Thrash, and they can't have the rest. And they can't get into it. They're always thrash. Brother, you'll have to go outside and wait till I'm done preaching. I got a rest that remains. I ain't going to lose you. But I felt so feeble, I thought, you know, I could trip over a little straw. I could fall over in the ditch and I could drown. And I know the lions are chained, but I still fear them. He knows that the fire can't kill him, and it won't kill him, but he looks at the blisters of the last trial. And he starts to tremble, and he starts to get that cotton mouth, and he starts to get the tremble knee, and he starts to, get promise suspicious. And his stomach does a slow 180, a flop. And he stares up at Hill's difficulty. It scares him. He says, I had more faith at the very beginning, and I haven't got it now. I've lost it. Have you ever been in that kind of a thing where you were rolling along when you first got saved and you had all this faith, and then you're going on a couple of years, and then you ain't got no faith at all? And you look up at mountain difficulty and you say, oh God, I can't climb one more mountain. I don't want to do it. And you end up going down into Humiliation Valley. You become troublesome every time you have to go down inside. And you start to think about heaven where there's no more hills, no more demons, no more temptations, no more doctrine, no arguments, no foes to defeat, no dangers to dread, no uncertainties. Where the cripple will not cripple anymore, and where the feeble-minded will not have any mind of their own anymore, and they'll have the mind of Christ, and they'll... fearing will be gone. You know, in a measure, you can have that right down here by having this. In heaven, you're going to be free from all persecution. You know, even right here, you can be free of it. Well, it says those that live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I know, but you can be free of fear. See, it's really the fear. Now, coming out of a rough background, I always knew before, and every other day I would get in a fight, and I always knew that the fear of it, I had a tremendous fear. My whole body would quake. But after the first punch or the first nose bender, that was all she wrote. I was okay then. It was the fear of the first punch. It was the fear of getting in the battle. It's the fear of getting into the battle, not the battle itself. Once you get into the thing, it's not that you get bloodthirsty, but I mean you get into it. How many know that we're in a battle down here? No, we start to think about heaven. No aching heads, no bruised bodies. No weariness, no old age, no worries, no infirmities, all left behind. But of course, then the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the wonderful things God hath in store for those who love. Oh yeah, we have a rest right here, hallelujah. A rest in the church, belong to a church. You're listening on the radio. You're not going to have no rest looking at the electric church. Guy comes out in a great big white suit, white shoes, white socks, white handkerchief, white carnation. You're not going to have the rest until you get involved in a body. But think of it. If we can become Christ-like down here, it says his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know where his kingdom is? His kingdom is right on the inside of you. His kingdom come, and it's going to come right on the inside. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, it's going to come right in the midst of you. No more division, no more rebellion, no more angry words at church meetings, no bad thoughts to one another, no doctrine, no arguments, no fighting about practice, all born again Baptists and Lutherans and Catholics and Episcopalians and Methodists and Assembly of Gods and Disciples Ministries will be singing the same hymn. Don't we have a rest of faith here? What are you resting? But the life that I now live, I live in faith. And when trouble comes from all sides, I mean everywhere, just swarms you like evil bees, you have the rest that remains. In the last 6 months, I've had to remind myself of the rest that remains. And every time I remind myself, I get into the remains of the rest. I sat with some influential people. And one thing I've seen about them, they didn't have no rest. You know that? But you can smile right at tribulation. And you can laugh right at death. If you have. You're in the midst right now, aren't you, of calamity? Aren't you in the midst of reproach and gossip and slander? Oh, preacher, you're going to be gossiped against. You are going to be slandered, for the Word of God says so. But what I got to tell you today is that you got to have that rest that remains. I'm not talking about singing Sam's song. I'm talking about singing all the same songs. I'm talking about a more lasting, a more enduring, a more unruffled, a more sweet, a more calm, a more lasting rest. The rest of faith. See, it's like we live by faith here, but we become what we lived by here. We become Christ-like, and we become perfected in the faith. Well, it's the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect. Seasonable rest. Multitudes, it says in the Bible, are finally going to come to a rest that's everlasting. But yet we can come into one right now that remains. Right now we're voyagers and we're travelers and we're strangers. And the Bible says we're passing through ambassadors, races, witnesses. I started to think about it the other night. I started to think about McGlynn Bakery. We were laying up there in the bed all toasty, roasty. McGlynn Bakery is baking all these little cakes and everything. We get them by hundreds. And they're in there just baking all those things. We were just in the rest. The gas company people and the cafe people and the students and the truck drivers and the city workers and the presidents and the laborers and the railroad people, janitors and dishwashers and the police and the firefighters. Someday the Bible says the trump will sound, whoop! And within the twinkling of an eye, they're all going to be gone. You know what? I don't believe that's too far off either. I really don't. And your trumpet could sound any time. You could be laying in your bed. You say, what's that? And you're gone. I think it's soon and very soon. Isn't there a song like that? Soon and very soon, huh? Every once in a while, I'd be down in my office and I'd get moving in the spirit. Where I get caught up with little guys like that little Paul down there and I feel a lift. I feel a lifting. And I thought, am I going to go? I think a sneak preview of the rapture. And after we go, the world's going to say, hey, what happened to the cook and what happened to the bottle washer? What happened to the Indian chief? What happened to the car mechanic? What happened to the fire department? What happened to the police? And what happened to this one? What happened to that preacher and this preacher and so on like that? You know what the answer is? Love lifted me. You know what lifts me up? I don't know if it lifts you up. Love lifts me up. What's that song they sing? It's the Lord lifted me. The Lord lifted me. And then it was in the world. It was love. Lift me up. How does that go? Can you sing a little bit of it? How does that go? Lord, lift me up, da 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 da. That's the way it goes. And the world says,
Love lift me up, da 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 da. Well, the Lord lifts you up, don't he? You know he lifts you up? It's just like when you're a little baby and you're all frustrated and you're all, you know, you're all sweaty and you're all cranky and mean and everything, you know, and you're bruised and you're hurted. Ooh, these kids are out here and they hurted you and they dumped sand on your head and they kicked you in the rumparoo and then they just poked you in the mouth and then you come inside. Then your mom reaches out them big, big old fat arms, hoists you up inside there, just sort of gives you that heavenly rest. I can still remember my mother hugging me. Huh? She'd lift me up and she'd lay me up against her breast and get her big old arms around me and they'd still hug on me, you know. And it's heavenly rest. You know what that's going to be like? And God does the same thing to you and me. When you need a good heavenly rest, he picks you, love lifts you up. Lord, lift me up. Love, lift me up. There's no difference. And everybody needs that. No. You need that heavenly rest in angels. Just like my mother, I always knew she was there, and she always would remain. Them same arms, I'm talking about my mother, the windmill now, them same arms that would beat me in the corner would lift me up and hold me. That's the truth. Did your mom ever beat on you? Of course she would. You can tell by the lumps on the back of your head. But she still loves you, doesn't she? Not those of you who notice, but no. She does. She still loves you. And it's the same way with my mom. And it's the same way with God. He chastens me, and yet I know I can count on him to love me, because he's got a rest that remains. I can go to him in my most trying times in the whole of my life, and God will lift me right up. He said, here, I'm going to give you a rest that remains. You need a rest, fella. Come on up here. Hey, if you're ever going to have to live a message, you're going to have to live this message that I preached here tonight, and you're going to have the rest that remains, because the world right now is going to have no rest. And it says in the end that God is going to loose seducing spirits from the grave. God is going to lie. Seducing spirits. Pestilence and all kinds of things is going to happen. But we have a rest that remains. And boy, I'll tell you one thing. Having lived in this message for the last 6 months, I know it works. And I'm just grateful for God that he's got a rest that remains. In the middle of all this. This has been the hardest ministry down here on the north side. North side is hard ministry, isn't it? Yeah, you ask Louis Walton something. Okay. But you want to know something? I've learned that the rest remains right here on the north side. And I wouldn't want to go nowhere. You know why? Because I would lose my rest. I've had people prophesy over me. They've had me in China. They've had me in Africa. They've had me all over. I said, you know what? I think you're just trying to get rid of me. And I am not going. Lord, I want to thank you for these people that are here tonight. I want to thank you for the radio audience. I want to thank you for all the people that are listening on this tape right now that are heavenly rest in me. My God, I ask that you just bless us with this message down deep in the spirit, Lord, that our soul would have that rest that remains. Hallelujah. I pray for those that are out there right now, Lord God, that are tormented in their minds, that have this pride and have the different things that are going on, Lord God, that they cannot receive the rest of God. It remains for them, Lord. And it remains there because they haven't scooped it up right now for the very time. God, I just right now, I just ask that you give them that rest, that you have foreordained to be for the people of God, that they can come into that rest. Mighty name.